VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. We are 2 weeks following the November 3rd election, where multiple irregularities have surfaced in multiple states and just within the last couple hours. I mean, we had former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, along with his legal team, Attorney Sidney Powell, Attorney Jenna Ellis, held around a 90-minute press conference pointing out the fraud that took place in multiple states, the states that are so close that the fraud, they say, that which took place would be sufficient to overturn the projected winner for the state. They chastise over and over again the media for their continued putting forth of fake news. We're going to be visiting some of what is going on across our nation today, especially in some of the key battleground states. Our guest today has written concerning election oddities that no one can explain. Joining us today, we welcome Bob Edelman, a former investment advisor, now a regular contributor, that is, to The New American, writing primarily on economics and also politics. Bob, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim, for having me aboard.
Did you get a chance to see this press conference held a couple hours ago with Rudy Giuliani?
Just a scan, yeah. Just a brief overview. I sort of knew it was coming, and I sort of knew what they were going to say because I've been studying this so carefully ever since the run-up to the election.
Yeah, I mean, they really went state by state, pointing out numerous issues like Republican inspectors being kept from being election observers, tens of thousands of absentee ballots, like in our state, Wisconsin, which do not have applications filed for them, backdated ballots, precincts with more than 100% voter turnout, votes being counted in Germany, and the list went on. It was quite a display there.
Well, I'm more encouraged now than I've been, and I have thought, from my writing, I'm not a journalist in the sense of an investigative journalist. I have a little sign on my wall, Jim, that says, "I have culled a bouquet of varied flowers from other men's gardens, and nothing in my own writing is the string that holds them together." Hmm. So what I am is a quilter, a researcher. And I've been impressed with the Trump campaign and his likelihood of success from the middle of the summer. I begin to look at various indicators and so on, and some of them turned weird. When we finally saw the election and the results, probably the one that stands out the most is Biden's lack of coattails.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, of course, is that he is such a strong candidate that he won the presidency and a whole lot of folks would follow on behind him riding on his coattails. Well, it turns out that the Republicans actually gained not only in the House, but in state houses across the country. And so what we find in what is now almost common knowledge, praise the Lord, Biden doesn't have any coattails. In fact, he doesn't even have a coat.
Well, what's interesting with that being said, that it's President Trump that's got the coattails.
Yes, you might say that.
Yeah. Well, Sidney Powell, she has been very forthright about corruption this election cycle. Do you have confidence in her testimony and in her investigation?
Yes, for several reasons. I have been tracking her as she has been defending General Michael Flynn. She popped up in my, you know, radar when she took over from the previous law firm that hadn't helped Flynn hardly at all. And she saw what was going on. And so I've been tracking and writing about that. I'm very sympathetic. My bias, of course, is for the Constitution, limited government, and so on. I'm also a believer, happy to tell you, by the grace of God.
Amen.
But she popped up, and what I've been able to do is read some of her briefs. So it's not just a matter of headlines and what she says on television or and so on, but actually reading some of her briefs in defending General Flynn. And I have come to the conclusion, and I've written about this, that she, in my opinion, is a legal lioness. She is a bulldog. and impeccable credentials, and has the same worldview that you and I do, that something is amiss, and she is determined to get to the bottom of it and expose it.
We're going to be looking at some of the oddities, but Tuesday night of this week, President Trump fired his director of cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency. What led to this? Why did this happen?
That was Chris Krebs. He needed to get an exit long before this. You know, the thing that Mr. Trump demands of the people that he appoints, and he appointed this man, is loyalty. And he can have different opinions and oppose a particular point of view, but in Trump's opinion, if you're not on board, there's the door. And Krebs and his agency, CISA, started talking against his point of view. Now, without going into whether that point of view is right or wrong, my point is Krebs needed to get out of there, and it's too bad that he had to wait until he was fired. He expected to be fired. Well, if that's the case, why didn't he just resign? So, in my opinion, he was part of the problem.
Okay, and now he's the one who issued the statement that the election was the most secure in American history, and saying this, while, of course, President Donald Trump's been challenging what's going on, Chris Krebs, who headed this agency, had a close relationship with Miles Taylor. Who's Miles Taylor?
Well, he is the author, the anonymous author, no longer anonymous, of the resistance. The anonymous author that said that there is inside of the Trump administration a coterie, a cabal, if you will, of people who don't like or trust or work with or agree with Mr. Trump, and they are an internal resistance. And so he wrote an article about that and later disclosed that he was the actual writer. Anonymous, unquote, is Miles Taylor, a close friend of Chris Krebs.
Wow, wow. You've done a lot of research in this, Bob, and all that's taken place, even leading up to this election. In your heart of hearts, do you believe that there is a sincere attempt to steal this election?
Yes.
Hmm.
How much time do you have, Jim?
Well, go ahead and share what's on your heart.
I don't know. I mean, that's a simple answer.
Yeah.
Please, let me go all the way back. I've been writing for The New American for 11 years. The New American is sponsored by the John Birch Society. I have been a life member of the John Birch Society since the 60s, just a few years after the society was formed in 1958. I came out of Cornell University going the other direction, and I ran into a friend who happened to be a member of the John Birch Society, and I had a headache because this guy was a straight shooter, and yet he belonged to something that I was persuaded by the national media was a group that you wanted to have nothing to do with. What I discovered, of course, is that this group, this is the John Birch Society, in its nascent stage, first 3 or 4 or 5 years, was a existential threat to the insiders. Now, today the phrase is deep state, but Mr. Welch, the founder of the society, always referred to them as the insiders. Sometimes we know who they are. Most of the times they're nameless. We don't know who they are, but they run the show, or they think they do.
Anonymous.
And so, yeah, truly. So, anyway, that's the background. Hmm. And so I come to you as an individual who believes that, as President Franklin D. Roosevelt said so many years ago, when something happens in politics, you can be sure that it was planned that way.
Wow. Well, you've been tabulating, Bob, just a number of election oddities taking place, and I'd like to kind of run through the list here to help our listeners understand why the integrity of this election is under scrutiny. And share with us, we'll let you work off some of the things that you have discovered and pointed out here.
Well, okay, that's fine. There are several that popped up. I talked about the lack of coattails,
mm-hmm.
But there are several indicators that really rang a bell with me. One is I used to be an investment advisor, and so I'm comfortable a little bit with how the stock market can tend to lead, if you will, not only investment perceptions and results, but also reflect politically. And one of those interesting models is something called the S&P 500 model. Historically, this is right or accurate more than 90% of the time. And very simply put, it depends if the market is strong, if it is positive in the 90 days leading up to the election, more than 90% of the time, the incumbent is reelected.
That's a pretty strong track record there.
There's another one that's equally strong. It's called the primary model. This comes from a professor from Stony Brook University. I've never heard of Stony Brook University, but his name is Helmut Norpoth. And he's been creating and watching this model. I think it goes back to 1912, the first year that we actually had primaries leading to the general election. And since 1912, that model, based upon how voters voted in the primaries, has predicted who the president would be some 87% of the time. And he predicted, of course, Trump.
Hmm. Interesting.
So all of a sudden we say, here are historical, you know, a one-off is, you know, can be explained away, but you have two or three or ten. Let me give you another one. There are two what are called bellwether states. One is Ohio, and the other is Florida. Now, here's an amazing thing. Ohio is one of the, I'm reading now from Matt Palumbo. Ohio is one of the two highly reliable bellwether states that nearly always accurately serve as a national barometer for the presidency. I'm quoting Palumbo. The winner of Ohio has gone on to win the presidential election in every single race since 1904, with two exceptions. Likewise with Florida, he says, only twice as a Democrat won the presidency without winning Florida. While no Republican since Calvin Coolidge has won the presidency without it. Well, guess what happened in Ohio? Trump, 53. Biden, 45. Well, guess what happened in Florida? Trump, 51. Florida, 40. Biden, 48.
Hmm.
So how is it possible, as the question I raised when I wrote about this, how do these two bellwether states go for President Trump, but Biden win the presidency?
I understand, Bob, there's not only bellwether states, but there are bellwether counties as well.
Yeah, I'm just coming to that. yeah, there are 18 counties that have an equally impressive track record. Let's see, from going back to 1956, they predict the presidency. The results of those 18 counties, between 88 and 100% of the time.
Tell you what, we're going to break right there for a moment because we're up against a break here, and we're going to come back with these bellwether counties as well. Just interesting election oddities that no one can explain. I mean, when we talk about the lack of coattails, we talk about the situation going on with the bellwether states, Ohio, the state of Florida, and now looking at the counties, we're going to look into some other aspects as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we look at humanity, where did all the different skin colors come from?
Chris, of course, all our traits are controlled by our genes, and they've always been quite mysterious. Now, as the human genome has been decoded, the mystery of the origin of skin color has not been solved. We can't figure out what controls the genes. Evidently, there's something behind the genes that turns them on and off and controls how long they operate. Here at the Institute for Creation Research, we're researching this, and I predict that many of these plaguing problems will soon be solved. One thing for certain, it won't be solved by claiming the genes randomly mutated. They were created by an intelligent designer. The designer that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You know, there's a lot of strange occurrences that have happened in this 2020 election, and they continue to be unfolded. And our guest today has indicated that there are some election oddities no one can explain. And talking about some of the matters that are going on, I mean, can you imagine having a candidate that won, supposedly won, that has no coattails? I mean, look at all the states, and the Congress was supposed to gather all these seats, but instead, it's got a very narrow margin now under Nancy Pelosi, and the jury is still out whether or not she's going to be brought back on as Speaker of the House. We're talking today with Bob Edelman. He's a former investment advisor. He is a regular contributor to The New American and writes a lot on economics, writes on political issues. And we're talking about these election oddities here. We are talking about the bellwether states of Ohio and Florida that, well, defied their status here if the results hold up that the media has called. But you're also talking about the bellwether counties. You said there are some 18 counties that are at significance here?
Yes. This is a statistician's delight, of course. But these 18 counties, since 1956, have predicted the election of the presidency between 88 and 100% of the time. And in fact, in 2012, and then again in 2016, all 18 of them picked the president. This year, 15 of those 18 bellwether counties went for Trump. So the question becomes, in other words, we're to believe that Republicans did well everywhere except the presidency? And of course, there's another anomaly while we're on a roll here, Jim.
Yeah.
This is Sidney Powell. She's getting finally, I think, the public recognition that she deserves. She has been a laborer without, what shall I say, credibility or visibility, that's a better word, for years. And she was doing some work for the Trump election investigation committee. And she just reported, now watch this, we've identified over 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden on them and for no other candidate down ticket. This is another one of those anomalies. Very few people, once in a while, somebody will send in a ballot and just vote for a single candidate and forget the rest. But that's a very, very thin number, probably in tenths of a percent. Most people, when they fill out their ballot, fill it out.
Are those for a particular state, in a particular state?
No, this is for the country so far.
Mm-hmm.
And this was as of a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, they've been doing a lot more research, and it's coming on stream. I want to give credit to Sidney Powell. I've told you that before. I'm impressed with her ability, her grasp of the law, and her dogged determination to get to the bottom of things.
I know there's some interesting things going on in the state of Georgia right now. And matter of fact, Rudy Giuliani was just making fun of this recount going on, because if you have fraudulent ballots to begin with, you're going to recount the same fraudulent ballots. But one of the things going on in Georgia is the glaring number of folks who voted only for the office of presidency. And how those votes just overwhelmingly went for Joe Biden, and a few, by comparison, went for Donald Trump.
Yes, and now I didn't write about that. That was another writer from the New American. He came up with and discovered it, that out of those votes you're referring to that were only single check marks, if you want to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
800 and change of them voted for Trump, and nobody else. And some 85,000 of them voted for Biden.
Wow.
And nobody else. So there's another one of those anomalies, may we call them, peculiarities, abnormalities, oddities.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange indicators of something's afoot here.
Since we're talking about Georgia, I saw, too, that there's a Georgia poll worker that found what they call a pristine batch of ballots. Normally ballots have some wear and tear on them from being handled by individuals, but these did not. And 98% of those pristine ballots were marked for for Biden. And this is a person who's got 20 years of experience in handling ballots.
Yeah. After a while, you begin to come to the point of saying, well, of course. I love what Sidney Powell said, that this is no mystery. And this is a quote that I think she needs to get more credit for. She said, there has been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election from we the people of the United States, to delegitimize and destroy votes for Donald Trump, and to manufacture votes for Joe Biden. She said, they've done it in every way imaginable, from having dead people vote in record numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that exist only for voting for Biden.
Hmm. Very interesting.
So, at some point, we have to simply say, okay, enough is enough. This is fraud.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, and one of the things they pointed out in the conference, news conference here today as well, like in our state of Wisconsin, where I'm speaking from, that in our state, to get an absentee ballot, you have to initiate a request for that in order for a ballot to be sent to you. But they're uncovering many, many thousands of ballots that supposedly were sent without a request, and they're probing into that aspect. How could this be?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole business of these mail-in ballots. How can you check them? I find it interesting. I was reading, and I don't have the source in front of me. When a court looks at ballots that were cast in person as compared to mail-in ballots, they have discovered, of course, that the mail-in ballots are highly reliable simply because people have shown up there. They sign a piece of paper. The signature matches the records and so forth. The mail-in ballots are far more liable to be tossed. And so when push comes down the shove, it's going to turn out that those mail-in ballots, hundreds of thousands of them, will simply be not counted and not put into the equation, that more and more will be simply the people who did show up to vote and will carry the day.
We have seen the voter signature verification disregarded in multiple states. Why is that? Do we have any explanation for that, or is that another one of those oddities that can't be explained?
I think, Jim, if you look at the particular states, you'll discover that the Democrat Party has a strong, if not overwhelming, influence in those states. And that leads me to a topic that I don't know how much you want us to touch. There's a war going on, and it's not Trump versus Biden. It's light versus darkness.
Hmm.
It's the evil one versus a Christian nation.
Yeah, spiritual battle.
This goes back not for 10 years or 4 years or 20 years or back to at the turn of the century or 1865 or 1830. Yeah, some people point to 1776 in the remarkable coincidence of a creation of an organization. The Illuminati was formed on May 1st, 1776, with a deliberate intention of fighting against the republic that was just being created by the founders. A remarkable historical incident, but even that doesn't really totally answer the question. What we're involved in right here in this moment is a battle that began in the Garden of Eden.
It's a battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I just want to harken back, and you're not aware of this, Bob, but just 2 days ago on this program, I interviewed Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scripture Ministries, who just released a book, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times, and talked about many of the very this very aspect, that this is a spiritual battle that is taking place right now. And that's something we need to recognize, and that's why we have so often stressed the importance of prayer for our nation, and also stressed that prayer for our nation did not cease November 3rd, 2020.
Yes, and I'd like to push on that a little bit. I have a wide circle of friends, most of whom are very sympathetic to my point of view. Some, however, have raised this interesting question: how could God use a sinner like Donald Trump to forward and complete his purpose? And I'd like to talk about that. I can find, historically and biblically, dozens of people equally sinful and perhaps even more corrupt than Mr. Trump, who has been used as a tool to complete God's purpose.
Hmm.
I look at the Apostle Paul, Nebuchadnezzar, Moses. You know, it goes on and on. Look at King David.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he a murderer, not only did he lie, he cheated and then lied about his cheating. I mean, it was just... And so I think God is using Donald Trump deliberately and intentionally to expose the fraud and resist the evil one.
Bob Edelman, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and I just want to refer you again, folks, to that book that Ron Rhodes offered, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times. It's available at vcy.com, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829. Bob, as it comes to this matter of counting the votes election night, have we ever seen vote counting stop on election night in the way we saw it happen this election?
No, we haven't that I can think of. No, and people I read have not caught them by surprise as well. But looking back on it, now we can look back a little and say, well, of course, it's been very clear that the contest, the election was a runaway for Trump. And it had to stop because it overran the algorithms and the machinery that were designed to throw the election toward Biden. In other words, there were so many people who showed up to vote for Trump that it was way ahead of the ability of the other side to match those numbers, and so they had to shut the thing down. This is very clear from Sidney Powell and from Lynn Wood, another individual we can talk about who has validated this. But this particular software, Dominion software, was originally designed for use in South American countries like Venezuela. One of the most amazing eyewitnesses to this, an affidavit that Powell has used, is a former security individual high up in the former communist dictator Hugo Chavez. And it was designed, the software was designed deliberately to keep Chavez in power, regardless of what the election or the voters wanted. And ever since that particular piece of property machinery mm-hmm. was installed, Chavez, of course, never lost an election. Well, it was transferred to Argentina, and then Powell noted it came to the United States. And it was the question is, you know, who designed it and who funded it, and there's some dirty fingerprints on it. I'm not going to go down that road, but the CIA might have had a chance involved in it. But Cuba invested some money into it, and so did China. And it's simply a tool to swing the election.
Folks, we're up against a break here again on the program. Bob Edelman is our guest. And when you talk about this Dominion software, I mean, this is software denied multiple times by the state of Texas as being deficient. There was also an article in the Gateway Pundit yesterday indicating that this Dominion voting systems is not PCI compliant. It failed some 10 of 12 requirements. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
election oddities no one can explain. Well, Bob Edelman, our guest here today, pointing out many things just totally inconsistent. I mean, everything from the S&P model, the primary model itself. We talked about the bellwether states, the bellwether counties. We talk also about the glaring number of individuals that voted supposedly only for the president in Georgia. And 800 went to Trump, 85,000 to Biden, approximately. I mean, on and on this list goes, and it just does not make sense. And there are a number of folks, such as Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Janet Ellis, that are seeking to get to the bottom of this. And we were talking about this Dominion software, and I understand, and we're not going into all the nitty-gritty here with the time we have, but it's troubling that this Dominion software, it's got connections to the Clinton Foundation, to a Pelosi staffer as well. It's something that really must be investigated.
When I first joined the society 50, 60 years ago, one of the ways that I tried to determine whether this outfit really was a true bill is I lifted the corner of a rug. Here's the analogy. And I found a cockroach. Hmm. Now, by that, I simply mean I saw something that they had written that I could prove to be correct. The only trouble with lifting the corner of a rug and discovering a cockroach is that cockroaches don't come in singles.
Right.
And that's exactly where we are here today. What we have found with these little pieces of evidence, these clues, these oddities, the abnormalities, is a pattern that is totally reflective of fraud. I was always curious about why Biden hid in his basement and why his handlers were so reluctant to get him out on the hustings. And most people wrote about the fact that he was losing his marbles. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. Let me go down that road for a second. My sister has been suffering from Alzheimer's since 2012. I just got a note a couple of days ago that they're now transferring her to hospice.
Hmm.
So I grieve over what's happening with Mr. Biden. I can sympathize. My point is that if that was the primary reason for him to stay in his basement, I can, there's plausible reason for that. There's another reason. Why would he bother if he knew the fix was in?
Yeah, and he didn't. He didn't bother. He didn't go out campaigning. And as a matter of fact, he even boasted, and we've heard the audio clip where he boasted of having this perfected voter fraud system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's right about that.
Yeah. And
it almost worked. I would like to raise a rhetorical question. And maybe some of your listeners can add a little to this. This was so obviously, now that we see it on the backside, a fraud. How did the Democrats and the deep state and the operatives and the tech, big tech, and, the media and all the pollsters and so on, how did they possibly think they could get away with this?
Hmm.
Where did they think that we're just going to be able to snow us with this thing and we wouldn't pay attention and they could say it's a fait accompli and Biden's our new boy, and have a nice day, Mr. Trump, and we'll see you in jail. How are they that stupid?
I referred to the clip. I just located it here, but this is something President Trump had tweeted out about Joe Biden bragging about having the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
What a statement here, Bob.
Well, it's arrogance and ignorance, I think. It's arrogance that he thinks he can get this past us, and ignorance that he thinks that the average low information voter is so focused on himself and COVID and trying to avoid that and all that stuff that they're not going to pay attention.
I just want to hit
we're paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are paying attention. Let me just hit a couple more issues. We learn now that there's things took a dramatic turn in Michigan. here. I believe that was last night. We have two Republican members of the canvassers, Wayne County, Michigan, that signed these sworn affidavits saying they were bullied. They were bullied and they were coerced into certifying the election.
Yes. I find that outrageous. But again, you know, I've been at this thing for a long, long time and writing about it for 10 or 11 years. It takes a lot to make it to catch me by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
This, what caught me by surprise is the depth of degradation, the threat physically, very clearly on their kids,
mm-hmm.
not just doxing them, their address and so on, that, but to say that we know where you live and we know where your children go to school. I mean, that is over the top.
Yeah, threats. Then we also have Jonathan Turley, commentator, Democrat scholar, and he stated this. He said, I think it's clear at this point that voting fraud occurred. I mean, there is obviously a record here of dead people voting. There are obviously problems of keeping observers in positions where they really couldn't observe very effectively, but we still don't know. But we wouldn't know unless we had greater access to the system itself. This is held by election officials, and that requires a court to order that information be turned over. That's quite a statement from a Democratic scholar.
Yes, yes. Dershowitz is also supported Obama, I believe, in the past, but a scholar of the First Order, and he has tried to make sense out of this. And how is, you know, Trump going to be vindicated? And we could touch on this briefly. This is all speculation. It's in the future, and of course, I try to patch together the things that have already happened into some sort of coherency, and I'm not a prognosticator or a prophesier, but he has suggested that what Trump is trying to do is not to win the election in the Electoral College, which would require 270 votes. What he is trying to do is to keep Biden from capturing 270 votes, so it goes to the House of Representatives. And I find that an interesting point of view. It's a rarely used, but it's constitutional, that if it comes to that, the House will have to vote for the president. But it's done by state, and there are 26 states that are Republican-controlled. And so all of a sudden, it's over, Rover. Have a nice day. Goodbye, Bob. Goodbye, Joe. See you later.
You're talking the 12th Amendment.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are well-read, my man. Thank you.
Folks, and I believe it's, what, been twice in our nation's history that that has been utilized?
Yeah, two or three times, but back in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is. I mean, that's another benefit. We could go down that road. The legacy that Mr. Trump is leaving behind, among other things, is an increased, heightened respect for the Constitution.
Yes.
I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it. You know, it's remarkable. Most people couldn't even spell it, but now we're all experts on the Fourth Amendment and the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth and the 14th Amendment, and as you say here, the 12th, and Article 2, Section 2, that has to do with Amendment 25, you know. And I'm just loving it. This is the founding document, the most remarkable instrument struck off by the mind of man. That's a quote from one of the historians at the founding of our republic.
Friends, if you don't have a copy of the Constitution, we've got a pocket size available. It's got the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the signers of the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, all the constitutional amendments. And so when you hear the 12th Amendment, what does that say? It's a pocket form, and including shipping this nice booklet here, we make available for donation of just $5. Yes, you can go online, read the Constitution there as well if you want a pocket size that you can hold in your hands and read. Just call us here at 800-729-9829. Ask for Documents of Freedom, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, George Washington's Farewell Address. All are accompanied in this booklet and available here through VCY. Our phone line is open here to Crosstalk today. If you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest, a comment, a brief comment to make, our number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. So, Bob, we've got, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, now Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, talking about all of these issues. They're trying to gain entrance into the courts. Is there enough time for legal challenges to go forward?
I think so. remember that a number of challenges in the past have been resolved very quickly. I think Gore versus Bush or Bush versus mm-hmm. Gore, it went right down to the wire. But that was an exception. In my opinion, the evidence here is so overwhelming and is getting to be almost a popular topic.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh had Sidney Powell on today.
Hmm.
This press conference that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Lynn Wood, let me talk about and give him some credit. He's the fellow who represented successfully Jewell,
Atlanta
bomber.
Yeah, Michael Jewell.
And the Nicholas Sandman, that teenager that was excoriated by the media.
Yeah.
He has successfully defended them. He is a heavy-duty hitter. He has joined the team, and after one day of looking over the material that Powell and Jenna Ellis and Giuliani put together, I've got a quote in an article I just wrote, I think, today. He said that Mr. Trump didn't capture 70 million votes. He got 80 million.
Wow.
And so it's just, we're having a great time, aren't we?
By the way, folks, you can read the articles Bob Edelman has written as well as others at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Russell is calling from St. Mary's, West Virginia. Russell, you're on the air.
I fear with the biased mainstream media and biased social media that they have got away with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
How you get the truth out at this point?
And that's a good question, Russell, because this is something that was hammered over and over by Giuliani today in that press conference, saying, you know, they put this out. I mean, it was live. You can go to YouTube and watch it. It's on multiple sources. I saw Newsmax.com carried the entire thing live. I don't know who else did, but it is through these alternate sources to do that. But they chastised several times the mainstream media for not telling the story and putting out misrepresentations of what was going on. So, Russell, it's a legitimate concern. Thanks for raising it.
I pray they get straightened up.
Yep.
It's in the process of. I want to give you some encouragement. Who was it? Warren Buffett. Again, a great investor. I put it well. He said, when the tide goes out, it's only then that we learn who is swimming naked.
Hmm.
Well, the tide is going out, and we now know who is swimming naked.
Yeah.
And it happens to be, among others, the mainstream media. And unfortunately, to a large extent, it happens to be Fox. Let's touch on that just briefly, because people have really been very focused and loyal to Fox. But they... founder, the owner, Rupert Murdoch, is a member of an organization called the Council on Foreign Relations. He's essentially turned control over that network, that company, to his sons, James and Lachlan. Well, James has stepped down, and now Lachlan is running the show. James was also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Lachlan enjoys that aura, and it's beginning to show up. I think it was very clear that Chris Matthews, hosting that first presidential debate, very clear. People are looking for other places. When the break is over, we can talk about what places we can trust.
I tell you what, we got little callers lined up here in droves as well, so we'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, and our guest here today, Bob Edelman, will be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. A couple days ago, I had the honor of interviewing Brazilian journalist Alan dos Santos. Alan is a conservative fighting communism in Brazil, but he spoke too much truth, and so he had to flee Brazil and come to America. He's now warning Americans that what he has seen take place in Brazil is being set up here in America. That includes shadow banning conservatives and their truth reports, blacklisting them. Oh, and guess what? He was accused of fake news. Not only were there physical threats against him that caused him to flee Brazil, but they're working on legislation in Brazil to make reporting fake news a crime. You could maybe go to jail for it. Oh, and by fake news, they mean speaking the truth. So here he is in America, having fled Brazil, warning Americans that it can and is starting to happen here.
Bob Edelman with us here today from thenewamerican.com. Thenewamerican.com writes for them frequently on economic, political issues. Just before we pick up our next call, Bob, you said, do you know some other alternative media that people ought to be looking at?
As the media has exposed its bias and its lack of journalistic integrity, I have been more and more impressed as a writer to make sure that I get my stuff right. That's one thing I like about The New American. I am privileged to be one of about a dozen amazing writers over there. I'm humbled to be counted among them, for heaven's sake, Alex Newman being one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our job, we can have a bias. Everybody has a bias, for heaven's sake. But I think getting it clear that we use proper sources, we give credit where credit is due, we do talk about the opposing points of view. We try to be fair, but we try to prove a particular point of view. The New American, I think, is very good about that. Now, I'm not saying that just because I write for them. I go elsewhere. People ask, well, where else do you go? Where else do you don't just shop in your own store, do you?
Yeah, very quickly here, Bob.
The Epoch Times.
Okay.
World Net Daily. WND.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with them. And, of course, as you said, Newsmax. I'm a subscriber, and I find their TV channel very, very helpful and a nice, refreshing alternative to Fox.
Let's go to Milwaukee. Terry, you're on the air.
Other than a revote in 5 or 7 of the very close states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and then in-person voting only with ID and verifying ID, and then after you vote, dipping your finger in an indelible dye so you can't go and vote in another ward if you got different ID. Those numbers, if these numbers were true, should come out to be the same. Other than doing that, how are you going to take away any votes that Biden already has because he's got 370? So without revoting this way in those 5 or 7 close states, how can you possibly turn back what you already got, other than the delegates just denying and not voting the way their state went? But I would think if the delegates did that, they'd be shot on spot or after they...
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Bob, your response.
First of all, I don't know that I have the answer. Part of the answer is built into the Constitution. As we talked about, this whole election could wind up in the House. There's another avenue, too. The founders have thought about this. Amazingly, and they said there's another way, and that is that the state legislators can nominate the electors when they perceive that the election has been fraudulently conducted. And so there's that escape valve or safety net, if you want to. Frankly, I don't know how to answer that question. I don't see the future. What I do know is that on January 20th, Donald Trump is going to be celebrating his second term as president.
You believe that?
I don't think it's a matter of belief, Jim. I think it's a fact.
Okay, thank you. Bill in Phoenix, you're on the air, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for taking my call. My question for Bob is, when they confiscated the servers in Germany, who has control of those servers?
Are you referring to the Dominion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. That's a great question.
Who has control of those servers? Was it the United States Army that got them?
I don't know that that's been reported who has control over them.
Yeah,
that's important.
To look
that information is really important.
You're right. It is critical.
Good question.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Bill. Travis is calling from Pierre, South Dakota. Travis, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless you guys, and appreciate what you do there. And, you know, this is historic news. For our republic here and our way of life, you know, with this Dominion findings that they got.
Mm-hmm.
So I just appreciate them finding this out, and just wanted to call and tell you thank you, and there's going to be a lot involved here, it seems
Indeed.
Like.
God bless you for your call.
Thank you
for that.
We've got Dan calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, there's another clip with Biden where he says, hey, I don't need your help getting elected. I need your help after I get elected. Mm. So he knew the fix was in. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for that. And there were many times, and some people thought it strange that he said, well, if you think this, then you vote for Donald Trump. And it's like I've never heard a candidate try to give so many votes to his opponent as we heard coming from Joe Biden. Merle is calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, Gohmert, Senator Gohmert from Texas, he said that the military went in and seized those servers.
Ah,
he said
okay.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. And
good.
I got another point. Praise is a tremendous weapon. We need to praise the Lord right now for this being exposed, and praise
Amen.
Needs to be mixed with our prayers right now.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Merle.
Thank you.
Let's go to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ann, you're on the air. Hello, Ann. Okay, I guess we lost Ann in Santa Fe. Let's go to Pensacola. Don, you're on the air. I think we just lost her there. Go ahead, Don.
Hello. Yes, I've been listening to you all. You're doing a great job. But I have two questions.
Very quickly.
Number one, Joe Biden had 306, and Trump had 232. Is that still the case? And number two question, Georgia, have they decided which won that state, Trump or Biden?
Good question. The first answer is I go to the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times. They have a summary of the Electoral College votes according to their view of what's going on in the country. It's a much different number than the ones you just quoted.
I'm looking
right, much, much closer.
Yeah, I'm showing right now on their site, Trump 232, Biden 227, and the states where lawsuits and issues are going on, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada.
And I forget his second question.
Well, and we're out of time here. Anyway, thank you for the call here, Don. Don, thank you for calling from Pensacola, and to all of you, our guest today, Bob Edelman. And, Bob, again, your article's found on The New American, correct?
That is correct. TheNewAmerican.com, along with 12 to 15 other amazing writers. I'm humbled to be encountered among them.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure.
And, folks, as a recent caller pointed out, continue in prayer and continue in your praise. Praise to God for who He is and for the things He's doing. And certainly God is at work, even in times such as these. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.